Ready to break free from algorithms, vanity PR, and money-sucking ads? My name's Larissa Wurstiak, and I've learned in 7 years of jewelry marketing that content is the crown jewel. My agency, Joy Joya, takes a holistic approach, leading with laser-focused storytelling, impactful content creation, and strategic content distribution. This method has worked for the solopreneur as well as the multi-million dollar company. And now I'm sharing the same systems and tactics with you. Here's to standing out in the sea of sparkle. Welcome to episode 286. Today, let's delve into the significance of your e-commerce site's product detail page, especially concerning jewelry sales. And I'll share some pointers to enhance the appeal of your product page. Every person out there has certain perceptions of value, and those are shaped by their individual experiences. And these perceptions encompass things like pricing, expected treatment, and the surrounding environment that they're in. Surprisingly, if customers feel like they're getting a good deal, then they may actually overlook minor imperfections in the product. I want you to imagine lusting after a luxurious clothing item or accessory that's just slightly beyond your budget. And when you finally decide, okay, you're gonna get this item, you have two options. Option A, you can walk into that high-end store that carries it. You can pay full price, savor the entire experience, get treated like that valuable customer, get that high-end service, really relish the ambiance of being in that store and revel in this feeling of indulgence. Or option B, you might get that item, but maybe you opt for like a dupe or a discounted or secondhand version. And that means you're going to accept compromises, like maybe the packaging isn't as nice, or maybe you have to wait longer in the store to get someone to help you, or maybe you're at a sample sale and you don't even have a place to try things on. There's no one there to help you. In this case, then your expectations around purchasing that item are really tempered by the knowledge of the deal that you're getting, and you're willing to accept and compromise certain aspects of the experience. However, in the former scenario that I just described, when you are making that choice to go for the full high-end experience and you're paying the premium for that, when anything deviates from the expectations that you have, like maybe the salesperson is rude to you or the store is unusually messy that day, well, those things are really going to bug you, since you had anticipated and gone into that experience expecting something more seamless, more luxurious, catering to you. This irritation likely wouldn't happen if you had already decided in your brain that you were going to compromise to get the better price and you come to the whole thing with lower expectations. So what is my point here? Well, most jewelry brands, regardless of the price point, so you don't even have to be a high-end brand, most jewelers are not selling like bargain basement crap items, like just basically like a wire hanger that was turned into a necklace, right? Most jewelry brands are trying to present a covetable thing. It has nothing to do with price point. The products are considered discretionary purchases, and they really need to be presented accordingly. Your customers, especially when they are buying jewelry at a stretch in terms of their budget, and that budget could be anything, $100 to $1 million or whatever in between and beyond, they anticipate a certain level of presentation, service, packaging, quality, and a stretch in someone's budget, again, doesn't even necessarily have to be fine jewelry. That person that has a really small budget, even $20, the jewelry is a treat for them. They have a certain expectation coming into that experience, and their expectations play an integral role in the shopping experience that you provide them. It should ideally be pleasant, enjoyable, Unless, of course, you're a garage sale and you have a bunch of cheap earrings on the table and the customer knows what they're getting themselves into. Unfortunately, out there in the world, many brands fail to replicate this experience online in their e-commerce stores, and they're really missing the mark on what customers crave and what would entice them to make a purchase. So even if you think your product page is adequate, I encourage you to consider whether it truly aligns with your customers' expectations. And if you're wondering why customers are visiting your site and then not buying, it's time to get real about your product presentation. So keep listening or watching for the full scoop. But before we get to the solid gold, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this podcast has both audio and video, so you can either listen on your favorite podcast platform or watch on YouTube by searching Joy Joya. You can support the podcast for free by taking the time not only to subscribe, but also to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, let's get into today's episode, my sparklers. You know that saying, if you build it, they will come and buy? Well, okay, that's not a real saying. I made it up. But for many jewelry business owners, especially those who are new to market, there's this misconception out there that simply by setting up shop, just like you're setting up a lemonade stand on a corner, will somehow attract floods of sales. But the reality is so much different, especially in the vast expanse of the internet. And even if you build it, and even if they come, there's no guarantee they'll buy, especially if your product detail page fails to compel someone to do that, fails to inspire, entice, like get someone to covet your item. If the experience that that website visitor expects doesn't match what they find on your website, they're unlikely to make a purchase. So I want to illustrate this with examples of two jewelry brands. And because I want you to understand that this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with price point, I want to share brands that sell jewelry on the higher end and on the lower end. The first example I want to talk about is Tiffany.com. They, in my mind, are like the gold standard for exceptional product detail pages. And when I visited their homepage to do research for this episode, at the time, what they are prominently showcasing there is the Lock by Tiffany bracelet. And the way they are presenting it is really like a piece of art. There's a captivating video there. There's this sense of seriousness, excitement, pride. Like you can tell they are truly proud and excited about this new product. And it sets a high standard for what the customer is going to expect, even when they see it in person. Many jewelry brands out there, on the other hand, kind of resemble someone just taking a piece of jewelry, casually tossing it onto a messy table and saying, all right, so are you gonna buy this? That's not the experience that we want to have. We want to feel proud. We want to feel excited the same way that you may feel embarrassed inviting someone into your messy, cluttered house. You don't want to invite your customers in a website that doesn't wow them and match the experience that you want them to have with your product, again, regardless of the price point that you're selling at. So on Tiffany.com, when you click into the product detail page for any one of these Tiffany Lock products, what you get is an experience that's worth the price point and worth what you would expect from a heritage luxury brand. And you immediately, without even like reading anything or like even studying it too hard, you understand the value and you understand why it's priced the way it is. And you're not going to scoff at it, even if it's out of your budget. You don't sit there wondering why the hell it's so expensive if that feels expensive to you, you either decide in that moment it's for you, or you decide that it's not, but you leave that page feeling in appreciation for it, and maybe it goes on some aspirational wish list that you have. So I clicked on the Tiffany lock bangle in yellow and white gold with half pave diamonds. It's priced at $16,000. When you go to this product detail page, they show 5 different white background product photos, and that's showing the bracelet in different angles. It's showing it closed. It's showing it open. They also have multiple on model photos showing it both on a woman and a man, as well as in a Tiffany box to display the presentation of what it feels like to get this piece of jewelry in the packaging. There's also a video that shows someone putting on the bracelet, which is not only educational because I think the bracelet is not super intuitive to put on, but it also really shows the bracelet in motion and how well made and how well constructed it is, as well as showing like the scale of what it looks like on a person's wrist. And then when you look at the product description, it not only explains what the product design is inspired by, but it also shares the innovative features, how it's meant to be worn, how it's crafted, the materials that have been used. Again, you get step-by-step instructions of how to take it on and off. You get all the specs and the sizing. And further down the page, we get all the assurances like complimentary shipping and returns, how it's packaged in the signature Tiffany blue box, the responsible sourcing, a size guide, how to see it in store if you want to try it on in person, and then even more storytelling about what the lock collection represents behind the design. I personally am not rushing out to go buy the lock bracelet, but I feel like Tiffany has kind of earned it with this product page. I have respect and admiration and even appreciation for this bracelet, and that if I saw it out in the wild and I saw someone wearing it, I would understand about it and like what makes it special. So even before going into a store to see it in person and try it on, anyone on this product page would and should have a really great idea of what the product will be, and the try-on just becomes the icing on the cake. So if you don't sell products in this price point, you're probably wondering why it's necessary to go that far into providing a great customer experience on the product page. Here's the thing. No one needs to buy jewelry. We're not selling toilet paper here. We're not selling water bottles. We're not selling underwear. The online jewelry space is competitive as all heck, and consumers have so many ways to shop. Also, returning things online is a pain in the butt. When someone buys something online, they want to feel fairly comfortable that what they see is what they're going to get, and that they're making a good decision. And if they don't feel 100% confident in that, they're not going to buy. That's why Amazon is so successful, because the return policy is so easy. It's very low stakes. Also, Amazon product pages, very detailed. They have product comparisons. They have reviews. They show like a million photos. There's all these specs and descriptions and charts and graphs. And you can really do your research and feel comfortable buying. It's low stakes. I'm not saying your product page needs to look like an Amazon page, but there's a reason why Amazon is successful and why people continue to buy from them, even when they say, "I hate buying from Amazon," and then continue to do it. So on the low end, let's look at the website for Bauble Bar. They sell much lower price points than Tiffany. This could be more of an impulse buy for a lot of consumers. I just clicked on a product detail page for a custom slide bracelet, which is priced at $48. The page makes it look like something I'd want to buy, and I don't even really like to buy fashion jewelry that often. The presentation looks high-end. Without a doubt, I would not even question the $48 price point. In fact, I would think it's an extremely good value for the way that it's presented and the way it looks in the photos. There are close-ups of the bracelet, as well as a photo of the bracelet on a wrist stacked with other bracelets. And since you can choose the letters that you want on your bracelet, it also shows the various letters you can choose, how they look, the different fonts you can pick. The product description also emphasizes that this is their number one style. So it's an assurance that other people out there love this product. You can feel pretty comfortable buying it. If you love it based on the photos, then that fact could potentially put you over the edge. It also tells you about the features, like it has an adjustable pull tie closure. It has measurements. When you make different color and font selections, it changes the photos so that you could see those options as well. It also explains how long it takes to ship and gives the reminder that custom pieces are final sale. Now, that would make it difficult to return, but with all the other assurances, the balance of the different photos, the assurance that it's the best-selling style, the feeling that it's really going to be made for me, those can balance out the fact that I will not be able to return this item. So it's all about thinking about what is going to make your customer not be able to leave. They will have to add this to their cart. They cannot not do it. What is going to make someone do that? So considering these diverse examples, what can we learn to improve our own product detail pages? Whether you're selling luxury items or affordable accessories, the key really lies in captivating visuals, comprehensive descriptions, transparent policies, and aligning your online experience with your customers' expectations. After all, in the competitive online jewelry market, ensuring customers feel confident in their purchase decisions is the most important thing. So let me share five important lessons that you can take to your own product detail pages. Number one, invest in high quality visuals. These are essential for showcasing your jewelry effectively. Invest in professional product photography or videography to capture your jewelry from various angles, highlighting its details, craftsmanship, and overall beauty. Ensure your images are well lit, sharp, accurately representing the colors, the textures, including close-up shots can help customers appreciate the intricacies of the pieces. Also, consider incorporating lifestyle images or videos to show how the jewelry looks when worn, helping customers visualize themselves wearing the pieces. Because your customers are not buying a thing they're hanging on their wall or putting on their bathroom counter. They're buying a thing they're gonna wear. So you gotta show them how to wear the item. You have to inspire them. You have to give them guidance. Not everyone knows how to style jewelry. So help them out with that. And even if you can't invest in a photo shoot right now, please at least have multiple photos from somewhere. You can use images or video that you're sharing on Instagram, just something. Anything beyond the one white background photo. Literally anything, please. Number two, provide detailed product descriptions. Detailed product descriptions play a crucial role in educating customers about your jewelry. You're going to want to describe each piece comprehensively, including information about materials used, design inspiration, craftsmanship techniques, and any unique features or benefits. So highlight things like the quality, the durability of the materials. If you use precious metals and gemstones, say more about those. Special care instructions. You also want to add detailed sizing information and measurements that can help customers make informed purchasing decisions. and reduce the likelihood of returns or complaints, disgruntled customers due to whatever, mismatched expectations, basically. So try to make something unique about each product description, even if you have a version that you're using across many products and just tweaking a little bit for each individual product. Number three, transparent policies and information. Transparency is so key to building trust with your customers and ensuring they come back again and again. So even on the product detail page, say what the shipping policies are, what the return policies are. Are there customization policies? Provide information about shipping costs, delivery times, available shipping methods, payment installments, whatever you offer up front, right there. Clearly outline anything that they would need to know if they are making returns or exchanges. And if there is an element of customization involved, make it easy to explain, intuitive to use, fun to use even. So transparency just helps manage customer expectations and reduces uncertainty so that at the end of the day, they have a more positive shopping experience. Number four, create an engaging experience. So make those product detail pages engaging, interactive, to capture customers' attention and keep them interested. What I really liked about the Tiffany product page is that it had all these elements to explore. You can kind of scroll up and down to learn more. It wasn't necessarily like a linear presentation of information, but there was a lot to take in. And that also keeps someone on the product page longer, which gives them even more time to think about whether or not they want to purchase something. Incorporate storytelling elements to convey the inspiration behind each jewelry piece, its design journey, your brand's heritage, values. Utilize videos if you can to showcase the jewelry in motion, demonstrating its sparkle, movement, and versatility. Interactive features like 360-degree product views, zoomable images, all those things allow customers to explore the jewelry in detail, enhancing their shopping experience. Also, if you can get them, reviews or testimonials can add social proof and credibility to your product pages, helping build trust and confidence in your brand. And lastly, number five, align with customer expectations. So as I've mentioned throughout the episode, especially in the intro, everyone comes to a shopping experience with different expectations. No matter what price point they're shopping at, they have a certain idea of how they want to be treated. So you need to do your best to understand your target audience's preferences, tastes, and expectations, and then tailor your product detail pages to resonate with them. Think about your target audience's demographics, their lifestyle, the motivations behind why they're purchasing. Bring all those things into consideration when you're designing your pages. Whether your customers are seeking luxury statement pieces or affordable everyday accessories, you want to ensure that your product presentation and messaging align with their desires and aspirations. And you could pay attention to trends in e-commerce and consumer behavior so that you're really staying relevant and responsive to evolving preferences and, again, exceeding customer expectations. So, what do you think you can improve upon for your product detail pages? What's been holding you back? Let me know in a comment on YouTube or DM me on Instagram. I'd love to chat about it. Okay, let's get into the gold mine. This is a segment of the podcast where I share insights on entrepreneurship, mindset, success, growth, all things business. And in this week's gold mine, let's keep this conversation rolling about customer expectations regarding price points, which again, vary so much based on individual experiences. Especially if you find that you consistently encounter resistance to your jewelry's price, like people are really shocked by the prices that you're charging, don't dismiss the expectations. And this is a chance to dig a little deeper rather than just complaining that people don't get it. Because I think there's more that you can be doing here. So chances are, if you really think back through your life, you personally have had similar reactions to pricing in other areas. Maybe it's the cost of groceries going up, or the rent, or the prices of houses in your neighborhood. You're probably like, oh my goodness, I can't believe avocados are so expensive, or whatever, what have you. But what seems expensive to one person will always be an impulse buy for another person. Keep in mind that your own experience of what is cheap or expensive is not the same as everyone else's. So if you're facing price objectives, you really have two options here. One, you can adjust your pricing to appeal to those people if you're getting that pushback a lot. Or two, if you don't like that idea, I don't necessarily think it's the best one, identify where your real target audience spends time and then strategically engage with them in a way they'll appreciate and see value in. Alternatively, too, you can work on enhancing the perceived value of your jewelry to kind of quote unquote justify its price point. Many jewelry e-commerce sites lack the finesse needed to convey that allure of their products. It's like presenting an expensive piece of jewelry, as I said, like tossing it down on a cluttered, dirty table and expecting buyers to be wowed by that. Selling non-essential items is kind of like a seduction. You must make customers feel that purchasing from you will somehow elevate their identity, whether it's in terms of trendiness, sophistication, status. And this all requires creating an immersive shopping experience that resonates with their aspirations, whatever that may be. And it doesn't even have to cost multiple thousands of dollars because, again, everyone's perceptions of price and value are so, so different. So instead of dwelling on and lamenting about price objectives, I want you to adopt a more proactive approach to understanding your customers' desires. So perhaps the Gen Z customer eyeing a $50 fashion ring really wants convenience and connectivity, and they want a seamless experience where they can easily communicate with you through your product detail page. On the other hand, maybe the Gen X customer considering a milestone pendant that's like $5,000 just wants assurance that the purchase they get feels special and meaningful, and that's going to require more than just a single photo and generic product description for them to feel good about that. So if you're receiving feedback about price resistance, it's so important to explore the origins of it. Is it a matter of misalignment between your pricing strategy and your target audience's preferences? Do you need to broaden your outreach efforts to reach new customer segments? Or should you refine your product presentation to avoid this doubt, shock, and skepticism about your pricing? By addressing these questions thoughtfully, you can really refine your approach and better meet the expectations of your customers. So, what are some of the price objections you get and from who? Where do you think that comes from? Could you be digging deeper to address the source of this problem? While it's normal to get price objections every once in a while, even with the best audience targeting and product presentation, you shouldn't be getting it often. Let me know. Reach out via Instagram DM or leave a comment on YouTube. Did you have questions about today's episode? You can always email me, Larissa, that's LARYSSA at joyjoya.com. If you love this podcast, please share it with a friend who'd appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe as well as leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're completely new to digital marketing, then you'll want to purchase and read a copy of my book, Jewelry Marketing Joy. Visit joyjoya.com/book for more information.